listening to Alpha Geek Radio.
The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts. Yeah, there is. And we're going to talk about it. It's Thursday, June 16th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of the Alien Invasion Podcast, number 187, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I'm Dave Nelson. And with me tonight is Just Brad. Hi, Just Brad.
Hi, Just Dave.
Anessa's not feeling well, I take it.
No, she has the definite beginnings of a cold, and right before we're scheduled for vacation, so it'll be good to get it out of the way now.
Yeah, let's knock it out quick, lickety-split, wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, and...
Those were all prom themes, Dave.
You're right. All right.
Knock it out quick, lickety-split, bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. All wonderful proms, I can assure you.
Thanks to Monkey Warhol, an electronic musician from Minneapolis who provided our new theme intro. It's a song that it's called Alien Syndrome, and you can find it at soundcloud.com/Monkey Warhol. This is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and real life. So without further ado, let's get into it.
In the news.
Of course, every episode we start with the news, and it looks like Brad has the first story this week.
I am up.
Yeah, you are.
That took a turn.
I think.
All right. Kepler Space Telescope identifies Tatooine-type planet. Now, Tatooine, of course, being the planet from which we first meet Luke Skywalker, and Anakin Skywalker is as well from the planet Tatooine. Now, if you think back, one of the things you can probably really remember about Tatooine is it had two suns.
Oh, and I'm sensing something here. Okay,
yes.
Continue.
Just giving you a little bit of a heads up as to what we're going to hear here. If you cast your eyes towards the constellation Cygnus, you'll be looking in the direction of the largest planet yet discovered around a double star system. It's too faint to see with the naked eye, but a team led by astronomers from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, and San Diego State University in California used NASA's Kepler Space Telescope to identify the new planet, Kepler-1647b. Kepler-1647 is 3,700 light years away, and approximately 4.4 billion years old, roughly the same age as Earth.
Brad, can I just do something real quick?
Absolutely.
I have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kepler-1647b. Do you know what that's from?
That would be a play on Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
This is SETI Alpha 5!
Okay, I couldn't resist. Go ahead. Continue.
And how could you? The stars are similar to the sun, with one slightly larger than our home star and the other slightly smaller. The planet has a mass and radius nearly identical to that of Jupiter, making it the largest transiting circumbinary planet ever found. Planets that orbit two stars are known as circumbinary planets, or sometimes Tatooine planets, after Luke Skywalker's homeworld in Star Wars. Using Kepler data, astronomers search for slight dips in brightness that hint a planet might be passing or transiting in front of a star, blocking a tiny amount of the star's light. The planet takes 1,107 days, just over three of our Earth years, to orbit its host stars, the longest period of any confirmed transiting exoplanet found so far. The planet is also much further away from its stars than any other circumbinary planet, breaking with the tendency for circumbinary planets to have close-in orbits. Interestingly, its orbit puts the planet within the so-called habitable zone, the range of distances from a star where liquid water might pool on the surface of an orbiting planet. Now, like Jupiter, however, Kepler-1647b is a gas giant, making the planet unlikely to host life. Yet, if the planet has large moons, they could potentially be suitable for life. Habitability aside, Kepler-1647b is important because it is the tip of the iceberg of a theoretically predicted population of large, long-period circumbinary planets. And this is from Dr. Walsh. I believe that he is with the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. So there you go. They have found an exoplanet that is under 4,000 light years away, roughly the same age as Earth. And one of the moons that might orbit this planet could potentially have life on it.
Where is Kepler-1647a, I ask?
You know, that's a good question. I think as they find exoplanets with the Kepler telescope, they are labeling them with the numbers. So, I mean, it could be in an entirely different area.
Well, I thought that the number was like the solar system, and the letter was the planet in that solar system. So Kepler-1647 is the system around those two suns, and B is like the second planet they found in that system. That's what I was thinking.
That is a very good question, and I'm glad that you asked that.
Thanks.
Trying to find...
Because we always make fun of their naming conventions, because it seems very like dry, scientific. And we always thought it'd be kind of cool if they started naming planets after like science fiction planets.
That could happen at some point in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And Kepler-1646 is, I'm trying to find what star it's near. Kepler-1646b is in the habitable zone.
Okay.
But it doesn't look like it's the second planet in that system. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I was just curious. I thought that that naming system would make the most sense to me, at least. But who knows? I'm not a fancy scientist.
Kepler-1646 is the stellar object. Kepler-1646b is the planet circling that stellar object.
Okay. Oh, I get it. Okay, so instead of an A as the first thing, they use B.
Yes. Oh,
so silly scientists.
There you go. And now you know, and knowing's half the battle. Go, Joe.
All right. Thanks for clearing that up.
Joe.
That's very interesting. Okay. So we have another story coming up, but first, want to throw in real quick that you can follow us on Twitter. So like tonight, when we were going live, I tweeted out, hey, you could join us at gncasts.com/live. But that's just one of the many things that you can follow us on Twitter for. We tweet out when we have new actual produced episodes of our podcasts, and we throw out other things from time to time. You can join our Facebook page, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to us on YouTube. And the links to those are on the upper right-hand side of our website, which is GNCasts. That's GNCasts.com. Okay, so we talk about real life stuff. We talk about science stuff related to extraterrestrials, and we talk about science fiction. There are two new possible alien invasion movies in the pipeline, as they say. The Tracking Board reports that two spec scripts, Moonfall and The Fall, I don't know why they both have Fall in their name, that's kind of weird, are currently out to major Hollywood studios. Each has an impressive pedigree, but are spec scripts, the fancy term for scripts written for free and usually original. And I think the Tracking Board tracks these types of things, like spec scripts that are kind of circulating around Hollywood. Moonfall was co-written by Independence Day writer Roland Emmerich, who also is known for Stargate, correct?
Yes.
And I think that's it. I'm sure he's got some other stuff in his resume, but those are the two big things that we know him for, along with Harold Klosser and Spencer Cohen. It's about an unlikely band of misfits who, when an asteroid collides with the moon, must come together to travel to the moon and harness the alien technology left behind to stop it from colliding with the Earth. Sort of like Armageddon meets Independence Day. That's Moonfall. The Fall is by Blacklist writer Pete Bridges and is about a newly divorced couple who, when they find themselves in the middle of an alien invasion, must survive a dangerous real-time journey on foot from downtown Atlanta to the suburbs where their young children are home safe. Kind of reminds me of The Road combined with like The Walking Dead, post-apocalyptic alien invasion story of survival, a story of survival.
So all the dramatic tension is between the divorced couple who need to get through downtown Atlanta to the suburbs, and their children are home just hanging out playing Xbox or something, eating popcorn, microwave popcorn.
I'm sure that they're aware of what's going on. An alien invasion would be covered in the news, don't you think?
Unless they knocked out the power or something. Of course, then they wouldn't be playing the Xbox or getting microwave popcorn either.
Yeah, that's true. They could be with a babysitter. The babysitter could be like protecting them from what's going on, sort of.
Could be an alien that was sent as an invasion force ahead of time to report back to the aliens.
These are all great theories. I guess we won't know until either of these movies actually get made, which it's pretty early on in the process. They're spec scripts. So we can just keep our fingers crossed and hopefully one of these will get into production and we'll see it someday. They both sound pretty awesome. So there you go. Those are our two news stories. And just like you, Galactic Netcasts has bills that need to get paid. Where most people have rent and utilities every month, we have website and audio hosting. So please, please consider helping us with ours by going to GNCasts, that's GNCasts.com/support, and on that page you'll find two links. The first link will take you to our Patreon campaign where you can make a recurring monthly pledge. Now, all we ask is for $1 a month, okay? We're not asking for like a $5 subscription fee every month. This is totally up to you. You don't have to give anything at all, or you can give the $1 a month. It doesn't matter. The stuff's going to be there no matter what, but we appreciate it if you do give that $1 a month. Or if you like to go shopping, especially on Amazon, here's another option for you. Also on that support page, gncasts.com/support, there's a link to our Amazon affiliate. And what you do there is you search for whatever you want, whatever you are going to buy on Amazon. And if you go through that link, a little small percentage will go to us of your sales, and that also helps us put out our content all the time. So again, gncasts.com/support, gncasts.com/support.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a zone. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
It's time for the sightings segment. This is where we talk about somebody who's seen something that may or may not be of extraterrestrial origin. It's Brad's turn on this episode to bring something to us. So what do you got?
I brought you something that somebody posted last month. Is that what I'm seeing?
April 28th, 2016, 7:01 a.m.
Yes. So actually a couple months ago. No, that was May 28th.
What'd I say?
April.
Oh, April, yeah, May 28th, sorry.
That's all right. This happened in 1973, so this is from someone's memory.
Oh, okay, so it happened a long time ago, but they just reported it.
Reported it now, correct. Okay. And I love some of the answers here, and that's why I chose it. Okay, this took place in Benton, Kentucky, and the summary that this person wrote up here. My 14-year-old brother and dad got a better view, a rather large, perhaps as long as a football field, cigar oblong-shaped silver with flashing lights. Loud humming, mechanical sound, just enough to wake one, but not too noisy or loud. Okay.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a Metallica concert outside. It was, let's say, kind of like high-pitched Yanni, maybe. You know, something that was a little loud, but not annoyingly so.
You know what's interesting, though, Brad, is a lot of the UFO sightings that we report on this podcast oftentimes are silent. But this thing seems to be making a little bit of noise, at least.
A little bit of noise, yes. Now, what's interesting is this took place at 2 a.m., and he says that the, or she says that the duration was about 10 minutes. I'm going to give you the full description that this person gave us here. We live in far western Kentucky, roughly 300 miles west of Cincinnati, Ohio. My dad remarried on September 11th, 1973. We moved to Memory in the middle of late September of 73. We only lived there less than 2 months until our house became available as we celebrated Thanksgiving that year in our house. All right. On the evening in question, I love that statement. See it often. A rather large, perhaps as long as a football field, hovering object, cigar oblong shape, silver flashing lights, like I said before. The noise awakened my brother somewhere in the 2 a.m. range. Upon his view, he awoke our dad. They were at the front window of our home. They went outside and looked back toward Marshall Memory Gardens Cemetery. The craft hovers over the cemetery for at least 5 minutes, if not longer, then quietly zoomed out of sight, heading east. This bit here is what I thought made this report kind of funny. When you fill out this questionnaire for this website, this last question is views on UFOs before and after sighting. And here is the response. A UFO is simply an unidentified object. This was unidentified, therefore it was a UFO. Very little knowledge before or since about UFO. I simply don't care one way or another, just reporting what was seen. It was just like a wonderful, brutally honest, I don't care, here you go, I'm out.
So there's no conjecture, there's no like theories as to their, you know, what they think it was that they witnessed. They're just saying, they're just basically taking what they saw, reporting it, that's it.
Yep. The one thing that I noticed in the writing of this, the way it's written, he heard this from his brother and his father. So it sounds like he slept through it or was somewhere else.
Oh, okay. So it's
because at no point does he say, I went, my brother woke me and my father up. He kind of verbally is excluding himself from this. And it sounds like he was told about this after it happened.
Okay. All right. Well, it's like that report that we had a couple weeks ago from a listener who heard a story from a friend whose dad witnessed the thing.
Yep.
It's like the telephone game.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the facts don't get too distorted.
And purple monkey dishwasher.
All right, interesting. What? So if you've ever witnessed anything yourself or have heard a story from a friend whose father witnessed something, we would love to know that. Email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. We also have a voicemail number. You can call 805-328-3966. That's 805-328-3966.
The Sci-Fi Survival Guide is a podcast like you've never heard before. It is part of the Galactic Netcasts, but that is where the similarities end. It's a sort of audio feast, a theatre of the mind. You can find out more by going to www.gncasts.com/survive. Maybe you will find out how to survive a nuclear explosion, or maybe when the hordes of zombies come knocking at your door. Each month, we will take a popular science fiction scenario, and I will tell you how to survive. Be prepared at gncasts.com/survive.
Okay, so I have a question. How would you like to get the latest info on what Galactic Netcasts has been up to over, say, the past month?
I would via singing telegram. Do we have that?
No, we don't. But okay. Maybe if we get to a certain support level, that's something that we can add.
Awesome. How can we get that information?
Okay, here's what you do. Go to GNCasts, that's GNCasts.com/signup. GNCasts.com/signup. You'll get that monthly newsletter with kind of the rundown of what our podcasts have been talking about over the last month, the guests they've had on, the topics they've talked about. And I can guarantee you, we're not going to give your email address to anybody else, and we'll only send it out once a month. That's a promise. Also, there's one more thing you can do on that page. You can sign up for our Slack chat team. If you're familiar with Slack, it's basically a instant messenger / chat type application for your smartphone. There's also a web page that you can use Slack for. And it's just basically hanging out with other listeners of Galactic Netcasts, hanging out with other hosts. Like, I'm on there, you're on there all the time. So you'll be talking to us. We don't try to insulate from our listeners. We like to hang out with our listeners. So if you want to be part of that Slack team or get the monthly newsletter, again, go to gncasts.com/signup. That's gncasts.com/signup. Okay, time for picks and warnings. These are things that we have watched, listened to, read, played, made, any kind of alien-related entertainment over the past week. And it looks like, according to our notes, I am first. So I will go. The thing that I watched this week, or the thing that I took into my senses, alien-related this week, was Unsealed, Conspiracy Files, America's Alien Wars. And it's pretty close to the voiceover guy they have for that show. It's very, like, over-the-top, serious. We're not joking around. This is exactly what happened. I think I had as a pick at one time an Unsealed Alien Files. And I think that's the spinoff show. So this is the original show.
Okay.
Unsealed Conspiracy Files, America's Alien Wars. It talks about the involvement that America has had with aliens over the years, both good and bad, mostly bad. It starts off with talking about the Battle of Los Angeles. That was like in 1941, shortly after Pearl Harbor. And this is well documented. It's not just freaky alien believers that believe in this. This is something that actually happened. A object appeared over Los Angeles early in World War II, and the U.S. military fired on this thing. And according to this documentary series, they didn't hurt it one bit. They lobbed bombs at it. They shot bullets at it. Nothing. It just sat there. It floated over Los Angeles for a long time, eventually floating back over out over the Pacific and disappearing. The people of this documentary think it was an alien craft.
Huh.
They also talk about Roswell. Of course, every alien documentary series talks about Roswell. I think it's a law. And then shortly after that incident, they discuss, I think it's, which president is it? Truman or Eisenhower? I think it's Eisenhower. There was a secret meeting between him and some aliens. He was golfing out in California or something. And the cover-up story was he had emergency dental. He had something wrong with his teeth. So he had to go to a dentist and get it fixed. But really what happened is he went out to some like military base nearby this golf course and met with aliens, and they struck a deal, apparently. So they talk about that on this show, and the resulting agreement they came to was we would get their technology, and they would get like human subjects from time to time. So the people that claim to be abducted, that's part of the agreement that America made with the aliens for their technology. Also, something else they talk about is there is this big underground base out in the western U.S. And on the lower levels is where the aliens had their human subjects, where they experimented on them. And a battle broke out between the aliens and the humans. So it's interesting. If you believe all that stuff, you'll love it. Even if you don't, you'll love how it was presented. There's a lot of other subjects that they talk about, like the Stargate, time travelers. Also, one of the subjects of one of the episodes is like alternate dimensions. So I'm looking forward to continuing to watch the series. That is my pick this week, Unsealed Conspiracy Files, America's Alien Wars, and I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 flying saucers.
Huh.
All right, what do you got this week?
Gregor Comics, not to be confused with Gregor Sprague. This is a comic book that, a webcomic that is described as a superhero parody about a super-powered alien that falls to Earth and can't get a job.
That's great.
I'm going to do a screen share so that folks who are checking us out at youtube.com/galacticnetcasts can check this out. So essentially, this character, Gregor, is this gray stone. His body is kind of like made out of stone almost, a very dense organic material that he is made from. He is from another planet. And when the comic first starts out, we don't know too much about Gregor or where he comes from. At this point in the comic, about 3 years into it, we find out that he is from an alien planet where the males look like Gregor, like basically hugely muscled 7 to 8 foot tall beings, but they don't have free will and they aren't intelligent at all.
He doesn't look at all like our friend Gregor Sprague.
Not even remotely. And it turns out that Gregor was the females of the race look like this character here sitting in the chair. That's Gregor's mother.
Oh, okay.
Now, the females are incredibly intelligent and articulate and do have free will. It turns out that Gregor was kind of a last-ditch effort to try to help save their planet from an invasion, and they wanted to make sure that he was incredibly what they created was incredibly strong, but was intelligent and could kind of think on the fly. And you know, if he was involved in a battle, he could kind of think and not, you know, make intelligent tactical decisions. And so his quote unquote mother here, he is of her basically genetic material, and she did raise him. And I can't recall how he got to Earth now. I've been reading it so long, I've kind of forgotten the beginning. But he ends up kind of like teleporting to Earth or crashing on Earth. I can't remember one of the two. And he befriends a couple of people. And yeah, he's been trying to find a job. And because he's so big, clothes don't really fit him that well. And, you know, he's not an office worker type person. And he ends up really kind of accidentally becoming a superhero.
Oh.
It just seems like if you're not in an intergalactic battle and that's what you're designed for, maybe being a superhero on Earth is the job for you.
It's the next best thing.
So there you go. My pick this week is Gregor Comics. You can find that at gregor-comics.com.
That's G-R-E-G-O-R.
Correct.
Okay. So how many flying saucers are you going to give it?
I enjoy it quite a bit. The only issue that I really have with it is its frequency. So I will give it 3.5 stars, but only because of the frequency issue.
Okay. So how do you consume this comic? Do you read it in your browser? Do you have it an app on your phone? What do you do?
Nope, I read it in my browser. It's in my bookmarks.
All right. Cool.
So I have a whole bookmark folder filled with webcomics that I read, and I just go through them on a daily basis and see who's updated what and consume. And this is in that bookmark folder.
Okay, we'll have the link in the show notes to Gregor Comics and Unsealed Conspiracy Files, America's Alien Wars.
Excellent.
All right, feedback real quick. We would love to hear from you. If you have anything that you'd like to say about our sighting, what we talked about in the news, like those two films that may or may not be produced someday, or the new Tatooine planet that Kepler found. We would love to hear your thoughts on it. And you can call 805-328-3966 area code 805-328-3966. Now, if you don't want to pay, you know, if you're not within the 805 area code, it might be long distance. So what you do is you go to our website, that's GNCasts, that's GNCasts.com, and click on record your voice message. It's right there on the website. It's easy peasy. Or you can just send us an email, aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com.
And you can also text to that number too.
Yeah. And of course, fees may apply.
Fees may apply.
For more on this podcast, including show notes and contact info, you can go to gncasts.com/aliens. And to subscribe, go to gncasts.com/subscribe. Or search for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere fine podcasts are offered. All right, final thoughts, Brad. What do you got?
Until today, I did not know about the Battle of L.A.
Really?
Not the movie, but as the quote-unquote UFO or aircraft that flew over L.A. County and sparked an air raid.
Have you ever seen the movie 1941?
I have.
That is about that.
Ah, interesting.
Of course, it's a comedic interpretation of the events, but it's loosely based on what happened.
Okay. Interesting.
That was a Spielberg joint, I believe.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was terrible. All right. Thanks for joining us for this Alien Invasion, a production of Galactic Netcasts. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye. You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.